This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Is that like the chicken sound? Wow.
Jerk chicken.
Who you calling a jerk?
Chicken.
Who you calling chicken? Jerk.
It's Free Talk Live. It's Sunday night. We're
full of jerk chicken.
We're yeah. Let's try not to be
something
jerk
like that. Mm-hmm.
Bonnie's like, yeah, you guys are a couple of jerks.
Call me Bonnie.
Did I call you Bonnie?
I think so.
I meant Nikki. Sorry, I have a.
That was confusing because I thought you were talking about the real Bonnie, and I was like,
no,
I think he's talking about
me. You. It's probably this. Bonnie has this. I don't even know what the heck
the
this is. This pom pom of epic proportions on top of
pen.
This pen. It is the most glittery. You know, and this looks like something somebody would wear. You know, on their wrist
New Year's Eve
in like 1982 or something. And so, yeah, it's just sort of right there in front of me, and it's Bonnie's thing. So at any rate, Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there is no ticket cost, and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. All right. We've been talking about dun-dun-dun, the Florida Man Games. That's right.
Du-du-du.
It's not the Olympics.
The Olympics are happening this year.
It's not wrestling. It's way more lowbrow than both of those things.
Yeah. Lowbrow.
It's more lowbrow than beer pong at a college frat party.
They probably also have that there.
Sadly, apparently,
the
this
beer
guy,
pong event? Maybe.
They must, right? I mean,
at the Florida
it's
Man?
Probably like a preliminary event before you can actually get into the Florida.
Yeah, that's the entrance. You have to be able to play a little beer pong, show your skills before you can actually be... You know, considered a Florida Man Games candidate.
Right. Before you make the draft.
I wonder if they have, if it's like the Hunger Games, you have a district, right? You know what I mean? What district are you from?
Oh,
from
yeah.
Eight? No, you're 12? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I'm from 13.
We're from the handle. You know.
The panhandle.
Gainesville.
So anyway, they apparently had to get a permit for something or another. And apparently the organizer was disappointed. Because the city frowned upon drugs and nudity when he asked for a permit for drugs and nudity. I'm not sure. Only a Florida man, right? So I'd be like, yeah, I don't see the drugs and nudity part of the permit here. Where is that?
The city should have known that. They're doing the Florida Man Games. It's got to happen.
You would think that they would just do it and not ask for permission, right?
There's going to be drugs and nudity from the sheriff's department.
Oh, please, no.
The deputies involved in that.
Wow.
Hey, it's Florida Man.
Yeah, the Florida Man phenomenon. Do, 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 do. Phenomena. Do, 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 do. Phenomena. The Florida Man phenomenon seeped into the nation's conscience thanks in part to a Twitter account that started in 2013 with the handle @_FloridaMan. The account touted real-life stories of the world's worst superhero, sharing news headlines such as, Florida man bites dog to establish dominance, and Florida man tried to pay for McDonald's with weed.
I mean
these are...
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You know, in a free economy, that would just be a thing.
I've literally heard of people doing the dog bite thing. Like, oh, they're not going to respect you.
Really?
Unless you assert your dominance.
You got to become the alpha dog.
You have to bite no. that. It's like, I think they might, like, respect you less. They're like, that's, people aren't supposed to do that. Dogs would know better.
I knew a guy who claimed that you need to pee on your dog.
What?
To establish the dominance.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think that.
And I was like, I.
You're like, that's, like, kind of, like, crossing, like, animal abuse territory.
Yeah, I don't. Feel like that's effective. You know, there's... I
think he's confused. That's if they get stung by a jellyfish.
I've trained dogs, like cage training and basic obedience training. Like, it's not that difficult, you know.
You pee on them?
No, not once.
Really?
Nor did I ever know anyone who ever did.
You didn't bite them?
No. They tried to bite me.
Wouldn't biting them teach them to bite?
Yeah, you would think.
I've also heard of people doing that with their kids. When their kids do something, they'll kind of do it back to them. Which, again, I'm like, I don't know if that's sending the right... That's kind of sending, like, a mixed message. Like, if their kid...
It's like stooping to their level.
Well, yeah, and I guess the rationale is to show them... This doesn't feel good. So obviously, if your kid hits you, you're not going to hit them full force, but they'll, you know, kind of do an equivalent thing. So your kid bites you, bite them back a little
bit. Bite back.
To me, I think that that's counterproductive, probably. Because they're like, well, my mom bites, so, I mean, it's just like what people do to each other. No, it's not.
Like, let's just insert a different set of circumstances and see if it works. Somebody rings your doorbell, your dogs start barking.
Yeah.
Do you then start barking to teach them not to bark at the doorbell?
Yeah, it just doesn't.
That's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
But if you start barking first, will the dog bark?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So the dog will join in, but you can't join in with the dog?
Not as a method to teach it not to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You need the spray bottle.
But sometimes if you do that, they'll get confused. I saw this video, going back to the kids example, I saw this video of parents, like, acting like children, so they had a bunch of littler kids, like probably like under six, and they were acting like having temper tantrums and stuff, and they were just screaming and fighting over things, like they were just acting like a bunch of kids. It was a group of maybe like five or six adults fighting over a toy, and all of the kids were just sitting there like, well, because you're not used to your parents acting like that. Your parents are always the people who have it together, and you know, they don't have these explosive tantrums and stuff. You know, they're the leaders, right? Yeah. They're what you look for to whatever guidance.
You see, like, a parent like down on their back, kicking their hands and feet,
crying.
Yeah, they're
like full temper tantrum, and the kids just look like, what are they doing? They're just very, very confused, and they're like, adults aren't supposed to do that. But they'll immediately stop their temper tantrum. And I saw a similar video of a little girl that was crying, doing like the kind of fake crying thing. And then the dad started yelling and crying, and just the look on her face was like, wait, that's my line.
That's my job to cry.
Yeah, what are you doing? But it stopped her. You know, it caught her attention. So,
maybe you don't bite, but you can cry.
Yeah.
We all know people who have pets, and sometimes people have pets and they don't have kids, and so they refer to their pets as their fur babies.
Fur baby. That's almost as bad as official to me.
What is that?
The word official. Official is that whatever.
Oh,
official's,
yeah, it's just a word you don't like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The word fur babies. Like, really, fur babies? Come on.
So this begs the question, though. So I know for a fact that... there is something for canines called obedience training. Outside of public schooling, like, do parents have
obedience training?
Do parents have like a similar thing for children to, you know, get them to be less, you know, tantrumy? Does this exist, Nikki? You're like, you're on the cusp of having to discover these things,
finding out
whether organically or through experience. But are you aware, is there any, like, you know, like, child training?
I mean, yeah. There's a lot of different philosophies, right? Like, I've already read some books of different, what is his name? It's a psychologist, and I really like his books, so I should probably know his name. But he writes books on, like, the Whole Brain Child is one of his books. And then he also has... Daniel Siegel or something.
Okay.
But he also has another book specifically on discipline, and I've read a couple of other books that are kind of the same,
yeah,
in the same vein of parenting styles that can kind of, you know, prevent, like, how to speak. I also read this other book of how to talk to little kids, or how to talk to little kids so they will listen.
Right.
And it gives you some tricks like, you know, limiting the use of the word no. And I don't think there's a foolproof way to do it. And as we know, everyone is individuals,
yep,
including children.
Yep.
So there's no one-size-fits-all approach. Right. But I do think there are parenting styles that work better. And I think there are parenting styles that, like, more like authoritarian parenting, yeah, styles. I mean, you can rule with an iron fist, and they might obey you because they are scared. I don't think that's very good for their emotional development,
yeah, no,
or any sort of loving or trusting relationship. And I always bring it back to kind of, if you were to do that to your partner, how would it be? And people don't always love that because they're like, well, it's my kid, and they have this, like, this weird idea of that their children are their property and they have to be obedient and all of this stuff. But I'm like, so just replace whatever you're doing, and like hitting kids, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, well, imagine if you hit your wife.
Right.
Everyone would be like, that's abuse.
Right.
You can't do that. That's violence. She could call the cops on you and you should go to jail. Almost universally, people will accept that.
Yeah.
But once you, there's some question once as a child, and I don't really understand that. I'm like, that's almost worse because they're more defenseless.
Yeah.
So
relating this back to the pet thing for a moment. So when I was growing up, the choke chain was big on the dogs,
yeah,
right? And if,
yeah,
the dog, like,
with
ran
the little
too fast
in them, or just
the chain that would, like, literally choke them if they ran,
right,
too,
yeah,
far, and, like, yep, it would jerk them back and, like, break a neck or something. I don't know. Yeah. It seemed rather inhumane. So I saw that change to, like, the regular collar with the big metal hook on it that you would clip the leash to when you want to take a walk, and then that changed to, like, the vest.
You've, yeah, seen the full harness,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, the
vest,
which, like, so if a dog takes off and it's, like, tied to a beam or a post or something, and it, like, you know, gets the whiplash or whatever, it's not going to break its neck or, yeah, choke him or whatever. So that, to me, was a more humane thing,
yes,
to do.
Yeah.
And so I saw that evolution in, you know, we'll call,
oh,
it.
Oh, kids. Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, like, I'm at the
kids
zoo.
Have a harness.
I'm at the zoo with, like, my girlfriend on a date or whatever, and, like, there's, yeah, this little kid running around with the vest and,
right,
the leash.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, come on, you gotta be kidding,
yeah,
me, right?
Or they'll have, like, the little backpacks, so it's, like, a little bit more palatable.
I don't,
you know, it's like, oh, it's just their backpack with a leash attached to it.
Oh, that. Oh, I thought you meant, like, the kid in the backpack or the front pack.
Oh, yeah,
and,
I know, that's,
you know,
that's
the
cool. They like that. But
yeah. I'm fine with those kinds of things. I mean, that's,
but
just
a kid,
yeah,
on a leash.
But it's the same thing that you were talking about with the kid leash, but it's
on their backpack.
But yeah, it looks, yeah, well, the it is the same thing you're talking about, but it is a backpack. It's attached. It's like, that's the only purpose of it. You can't unattach the leash. It's just there.
Camouflage for the leash. Leash,
yeah,
camouflage.
It just looks, they're like, you know, they can name another purpose for them. Oh, no, it's just their backpack. Mm. Go put your backpack on, sweetie.
If you can't deal with your kids, like, you know, sort of take them,
yeah,
off and run it, you're like, without being on a leash, I mean, come on, man.
I am not a huge fan of what I call baby prisons. So this is kind of more of
the playpen?
A crib? Yes. Yeah, the pack and play, that's the popular one. Mm. So this is a more of a Montessori-style philosophy.
Yep.
So cribs, the pack and plays. I'm not even a huge fan of high chairs. Anything that is restraining the child, obviously, like car seats, I mean, you kind of need that. There's safety, and even the high chairs, I mean, you can make an,
yeah,
argument for that. There's a place and time to help them.
You'll see.
Get to the but I mean, there are plenty of parents who are parenting with this style of not being so restraining and restrictive.
Yeah.
And it's just a different, like, there are many different philosophies of parenting. Montessori is one style of parenting and homeschooling.
Yeah.
You know, there's Waldorf, there's the, you know, public school, whatever. So this is, it's kind of like, you know, what you're talking about with the baby leashes. It's a little restrictive. I could see there being a time and a place for a baby leash if it's, your kid's less likely to be kidnapped. I mean, that's cool. Yeah. But again, like you're kind of alluding to, like you should kind of be able to keep eyes on them a little bit better.
I mean,
yeah, if you're, from being a parent, having kids, you do not let that kid out of your sight. At all costs. As soon as you lose sight of your kid, it's just like, oh my God.
Yeah, like panic.
Oh, you're right behind me. Like, shh.
Yeah.
Things change, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you have, I don't know, some type of something hits you as a human to keep an eye on your kids.
Yeah.
But a leash,
well, that's like evolution, right?
Right. So, but I think just like the leash thing is just like, I'm too busy to watch my kids, so I'll just hang on to them.
This one kid that I saw at the zoo, had the leash thing on. What I liked about it was that when the dad finally caught up to the kid, he was able to, there was a handle sewn into the vest, and he was able to just pick the kid up like a six-pack.
Oh, my gosh.
Throw
him in the cooler.
Come on, you little bastard. You're coming with me.
Might be worse.
I don't know if he threw him in the cooler or not. But
so you do the same thing with the fur babies, right? Just pick that dog up.
Yeah.
Come on, you go in the car. Throw him right in. Fur baby. I think the people who have fur babies are the people who have, like, leashes on their kids.
Oh, maybe.
Probably.
Maybe.
I thought the fur baby people were the people that weren't having kids.
Oh.
Because I'm in a baby wearing...
Or their kids are grown, and now they need...
Something, yeah.
You know, they're divorced or
but
whatever.
But I feel like most people with kids don't use the term fur baby. Mm-hmm. Not that it's necessarily offensive to people, but I've seen people be offended by it. I don't really care.
Like the family dog.
It's kind of cringy. Like, it's like a fur baby. Like,
I mean, I've heard this phrase, like somebody's like, well, I didn't have kids, so, you know, it's just me and the fur babies.
Yeah. Mm.
Right? And I was like,
yeah. Okay. Like I said, I'm not offended by it, but it's just kind of like, all right, that's a little.
Like, have you heard of adoption?
whatever.
You really wanted to have a kid?
It's part of the depopulation agenda. Like, it'll be fashionable.
But I'm in a baby wearing group.
A baby wearing group?
Yes. So there's different types of baby carriers, like structured carriers.
You wear the babies.
Yep. So essentially,
this sounds very Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah. But it's like what you're talking about with the backpack. You know, like when people go on hikes, they have the baby in the backpack.
You backload them.
Yeah.
So there's like structured carriers.
Front backpack.
There's like the wraps and stuff. So the Facebook group, the intention is to teach people how to do it safely and proper body mechanics for the baby and whatever.
Yeah.
And some of the people in the group will post them having their animals in it.
Oh, jeez.
So they'll, like, have the
not
carrier.
Not the baby and the animal.
No, just the
just
cat.
The animal.
Or the dog, yeah.
Oh.
And I know some people who are like, yeah, my cat, you know, I work from home, and the cat is jumping on my computer, or the cat's in my lap all day. So I just wrap them up in this little baby wrap carrier and just wear the cat, and the cat loves it.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, you know, people can do whatever they want. That's not really the intended use of the product.
But
I'm not offended by it, but you still a little weird.
It's a little ingenious, I guess.
It's a little,
right?
It's a little weird. I mean, you know, I hold my cat, but I'm not going to, like, put her in a carrier.
Walk around with cat.
Walk around with her and take her places. Oh.
Speaking of Florida, we've got Tim calling. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, man, I open a fresh cough drop. And I had to spit it out.
I believe it's called a lozenge. Lozenge.
Cola.
I think you're right. I think it's. I don't have any kids, but you know, I've told you before. I've had dogs. I've got a dog, and they're both in. Actually, I've got two. They're both in harnesses. And now, if I was a professional dog trainer, I would actually use a choke collar.
Yeah. I don't dig the choke collars.
Anyway,
professional would do that? I don't know.
In some cases, yeah, because, I think the idea is that then the dog will not try to go. In other words, it's a way to train a dog to stay by you. I've just never had the, what do you call it, the, because I'm too soft on animals, but.
I just think that in regards to training dogs, there would be a better way.
Like a clicker?
It's kind of like the authoritarian parenting style, right? It's like, yes, that might get you the desired result, but is it in the best interest for the animal or the child, right? So I think it's important as far as dogs go on the leash and training them to be, you know, not pulling on the leash.
How to heel and all that.
Yeah, stuff. I think there needs to, they're, like, that's almost like skipping a step. Like, there are more important lessons that the dog needs to learn first, and then they wouldn't need the choke collar.
Tim?
Well, and so I'm, the only thing I know, because I'm really brand new to dog training in general, and no, I do not use one, but after Hurricane Ian, I was in the Red Cross shelter, and I met this lady that survived. I mean, she was up to water. She had it much worse than me. She was up to water, like to her shoulders, and anyway, her dog was with her. She was out on one of the islands. But she actually had her dog at the Red Cross shoulder. She had some kind of posture issue. What do they call that?
Hunchback?
Yes, the bells. The bells.
There's a name. It's not bells. But anyway.
Scoliosis?
Yes. Well, yes. She had a very, very severe scoliosis. And she had a dog with her. And she never once kept the dog on a leash that I can remember. Oh, no, yes, she did. She did have a choke collar. I remember that. But most of the time, the dog was not on the collar.
And it would just hang around beside her? It wasn't running around?
Correct. And actually, we were all on cots in a big dormitorium, a big basketball court in Collier County, Florida. And it's funny because they turned on, they had to keep half the lights on when we slept. So they would alternate every night. One night, the lights weren't in your face, and it was for security. And the other night, you know, the other half of the dorm. But anyway, her dog, she could go out to smoke a cigarette. And she asked me, she said, I'm going to do an experiment. She said, you tell me if my dog gets up. So I stayed. She went out for a cigarette, and her dog stayed. And she used to be a professional dog trainer. She told me.
So she commanded it to stay, and it listened to her while she was smoking outside?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the point that you want to get to with puppy training.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, I don't... I think that if there's something you would not use on your child, you shouldn't use it on your dog. This is the choke chain. I really am not a fan.
No, I think it's okay to use a choke collar on your child. I'm just kidding.
Wow. Did you participate in the Florida Man Games, Tim?
No, I've only heard of it on here, to be honest.
All right, well, we'll try and get you in next year, man. Hey, thanks for the call, man. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join the conversation tonight. More Free Talk Live coming up. We've got more about the Florida Man Games and a whole bunch more.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Update.
Michigan's up, and we're going to have a tremendous success there. And then we have a thing called Super Tuesday, and I think we're leading 91-7.
Donald Trump wins the Republican South Carolina primary, and despite her loss in her home state, Nikki Haley says she's staying in the race. Next stop, Michigan, the primary there on Tuesday.
In the next 10 days, another 21 states and territories will speak. They have the right to a real choice.
President Biden and First Lady Jill, along with Vice President Kamala Harris and her husband, hosting a black tie dinner at the White House Saturday. Saturday night for the nation's governors.
Here's the possibilities. Possibilities, because there's so, I have never been more optimistic in my life about the prospects, what we can do if we just work together. There's nothing beyond our capacity.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live.
We're back.
Thank you, Steve. We are a live call-in radio program where you can take control of the airwaves. Just move to, yeah, the other, oh, no, it's too late. Yeah. Never mind.
I was like, what?
I was trying to get the shot for
charades.
Later.
Yeah. Multitasking.
Yeah, sorry, multitasking, and I was doing a poor job of communicating and multitasking. At any rate, we're a live call-in radio program where you can call and talk about whatever's on your mind. The telephone number, 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Steve Classic.
And Nikki.
We've been talking about, among other things, babies with leashes and
oh, yeah.
Choke chains and, you know.
Beer wrestling.
Baby prisons.
Baby prisons, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, did you guys see the baby cages in skyscrapers?
Yes, yeah, from like the 60s or whatever. Well, they have the same thing with motorcycles.
What?
Yeah. Like a cage on the back of the motorcycle.
Oh, for the baby.
Yeah, for the
I'm
baby.
I'm like, why would somebody put their motorcycle in a cage in a skyscraper?
No. You know, so they can get
fresh air.
What,
so you dangle them out
air.
The window? You put them in the window in a cage?
Yeah, so they get fresh air.
Yeah, they built these, like, steel cages that would, like, kind of like an air conditioner, mount in your window. Right? And stick
They're
out.
They're horrifying.
And stick out. So, like, the baby could, like, see down or whatever, you know? Jeez. And, like, the baby would just play there. Yeah, she's got a picture.
Wow. Yes.
That's AI.
It's No. This is real. This was before. This is pre-AI that I've seen this. But
wow.
Yeah, so that is probably, I don't know, I think it was
no
like
wonder why we're a tough generation.
But, But yeah, that's some New York City for folks who can't go outside because they live in, you know, like 100-floor apartment buildings in Manhattan. You can just throw your baby out the window and they'll get their
I wouldn't necessarily call
that way.
Fresh air.
No.
Was it?
It's not fresh air.
Was it last year that was sort of like, you know, the AI thing hit the mainstream?
Yeah, yeah, last year I would say.
So if
mainstream,
if we're referring to time now with two-letter acronyms, we've got BC, we've got AD, and now we've got AI.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's after intelligence?
After intelligence. Yeah,
in the year one AI, which was, I guess, last year.
2022,
23. Last year was the year one. So we're now in the year two.
Two AI.
AI, yeah. If you're counting in that delineation.
Have you seen the Sora videos?
The what?
Sora videos?
Sora.
Sora.
It's is part that of like the Canadian for sorry?
Sora.
I'm Sora.
Y'all?
Sorry. Anyway, go ahead.
So basically, I guess it's part of OpenAI. It's not released yet, but they're doing that. You can just type in whatever you want,
okay,
and it'll generate something, generate video that's pretty good.
Excellent.
You know,
this bodes well for my budding career as a
filmmaker.
At least the ability to make like my own music videos.
Oh yeah, I mean for B-roll and
yeah.
I need like a dozen people rocking out at a concert.
Right. Yeah.
They had like someone just put in two dogs podcasting on a mountain. And you watch the video, and it's like, holy cow, that's two dogs podcasting on a mountain.
That reminds me of the that famous photo of the dogs playing poker.
Right, the painting.
Oh, the, what do you call it, the velvet?
Right, the
painting or whatever that is.
Right, yeah. Dogs at the casino are playing poker.
Yeah.
So we're 1 year, one AD? No, two AI?
Two AI.
We're in the year two AI. The year two AI is upon us. We've been talking about all sorts of fun things, including Florida Man.
I can see what you're doing over there on the other
side. I know. You know, it's pretty sweet, right?
Get the thumbnail of tonight's show.
We've already got it.
Well, I don't know if will everyone else get that. How can they see the thumbnail of tonight's show?
They would have to go to watch.freetalklive.com after the show is over and then look for the replay tonight's broadcast to see the appropriate thumbnail.
Even if you've heard tonight's show, you still have to see the thumbnail.
It's not
and
required.
At least click.
No.
And at least click so we get the view.
Yeah.
it's clickbait.
Click, that's like.
That's the important part.
That's good for our advertisers.
Click, likes, subscribe,
so,
as they say.
Because we're talking about Florida Man, I wasn't able to find immediately, but a friend of mine back in the Seattle area, his name is Matt, he was in a band called Underdose, and they were like bros of my band. We would play gigs frequently together, or if a band dropped off one of their bills, they'd call us, or we'd call them for the same thing. You know, kind of thing. Anyway, he went on to form a band called Florida Man.
Oh.
Yeah. Just for, like, the free hits to the website, right? You know, because they had a...
Somebody searches for Florida Man, and
then their band name comes up, like, oh, what's this? And, like, oh, look, it's like, they call it Crust or Grind, whatever that... It's like a version of, heavy metal music.
Oh.
Okay.
Did they play the halftime show in Florida Man? That would have been good.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. The thing is that Florida Man? Not from Florida. The band.
Right, they're from Seattle.
Right. Well, I don't know if maybe somebody in the band was originally from Florida, but I don't know that for a fact. So, at any rate, Florida's claim to being the strangest state goes back much further, said journalist Craig Pittman, who wrote the book, Oh, Florida, How America's Weirdest State Influences the Rest of Our Country. He noted that the first flag to fly over its capital in 1845 bore the motto, Let us alone. Now.
Let us alone?
Let us alone.
Not like a rebellious
head of lettuce trying to like, break free of the crowd. And
not
be
like
a
the funk band.
Nonconformist. Yeah, not like the funk band lettuce.
We're iceberg lettuce. We have to break away.
Oh, my God. I was going to give you a point earlier, but now I'm taking that point
away.
Do you want me to just say Led Zeppelin?
No, don't.
I already did.
Don't make
too
me,
late.
Led Zeppelin.
Don't make me mute you. Don't make me pull this radio station over. Or studio.
Wow.
Apparently, nobody listened to the motto, let us alone. Florida today has 22 million residents, the third largest population of any U.S. state. Really, this is the third largest?
Third.
I'm actually kind of surprised by that. What are I now? I need to know the other ones. I'm sure it doesn't
Texas?
Say. Yeah, maybe California and Texas. Texas. Yeah,
it must be New York. Maybe
New York is probably up there because of the city. And New York's Illinois. A pretty decently sized state that is kind of densely populated. Upstate is very sprawled out, but I do think like downstate's pretty densely
are you
populated.
Consulting the collective.
I'm going to check the magic
yeah. consult the collective. Yeah. However, you know, obviously Florida all share roads, beaches, and timeshares with more than 130 million tourists per year. That's in addition to their 22 million residents. So that's a lot of tourists, 130 million?
I'm sure they account snowbirds.
Sure.
So if it's not your, like...
primary residence or whatever, right? Yeah. Quote, you cram that many people together, they're bound to start running into each other's cars and chasing each other with machetes, Pittman said.
Is that how that works?
Pittman noted, there have also been plenty of crazy stories featuring Florida women, and plenty of them turned out to watch the game Saturday. Sally Yarborough and her daughter Danielle got tickets as a Christmas gift from their boss, along with a case of vodka. Can I go work for this guy? Your boss is going to give you tickets to the Florida Man games and a case of vodka? How do I get this job?
A case?
Jeez. Yeah, that's a lot. I'm not a big fan of vodka, but, you know.
Yeah, free case. Use it as barter.
Yeah.
Hopefully more women will be here like us, Danielle said. We're usually the only rowdy ones.
It sounds like the Free State Project. We're like, how do we get more women to come party
We need to have Florida Man Games competition at Pork Fest.
Yeah.
Libertarian Man.
No, Florida. We'll call it Florida Man. Yeah. Florida Man Games.
I'm sure there's plenty of Floridians that come up.
Bring them
up.
Even if not, like perhaps you could prove that you're more Floridian than an actual Floridian.
Oh, well, where are we going to get the alligators?
Porcupines.
Florida?
Porcupines.
Yeah, ship one up.
We'll just dress up some porcupines. We'll get some paper mache.
Weird.
We'll get some balloons. It's Florida, man. Of course it's going to get weird.
It's got to get weird.
It's Pork Fest.
The only women's event Saturday was a Florida ma'am.
I love Florida that. Florida ma'am. Oh, that's good.
Pinup contest.
Oh, that's a little.
That should change if the games continue, said Lori Ice Federick, a former competitor on the 1990s show American Gladiators, who served as a judge at the Florida Man Games. I personally believe we need Florida Woman Games, Fetrick told the crowd.
I wish it was something better than a pinup contest. That's kind of lame. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not to, I mean...
Most, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, like a jello wrestling or something. You know what I mean? Like a classic, like, trashy lady thing or something.
Worst hairdo.
Wet t-shirt contest.
They need to go review some of these Florida man stories that feature women.
Yeah.
And get some, draw some ideas from that.
I already gave my wet t-shirt contest, jello wrestling.
Bad hair day.
I mean, those are like classic.
All of the above. Yeah
those are classic.
Mugshot would be good.
Yeah, mugshot.
Hottest mugshot.
Yeah, instead of the, pinup, mugshot.
Mugshot.
Or, it's a little bit more fitting.
You just when they have all the makeup and everything on, you put them in a sauna for like 10 minutes, and they take a photo when they come out, and
whoever's still hot after that wins. If all your makeup melts off and you're ugly now, then you lose.
Like, you got all it's all dripping down your face. You look like King Diamond or something.
King Diamond, all right.
It's not very often I get a King Diamond reference
Abigail,
in this show, so you know.
Very strong.
Leading up to Saturday, Joshua Barr and his Cooter Commandos teammates.
Okay.
Cool. Very curious. Spent time whipping up support on Facebook with posts showing the trio chugging Pabst Blue Ribbon beer and jogging in jean shorts and mirrored sunglasses.
Cool.
Their team name comes from a turtle species celebrated by their hometown of Inverness.
Okay.
I thought maybe they were making fun of Cooter, the mechanic from the Dukes of
Hazzard. Yeah. Right? No, that was
that's
the other guy.
That wasn't Cooter. That was Roscoe.
That was Roscoe.
Roscoe P. Coltrane. Yeah. Not to be confused with Enos. We won't talk anymore about them.
All right.
The Commandos didn't stop. I'm going to use their proper name. The Cooter Commandos didn't stop with online promotion and trash talking over rival teams. Barr, a 37-year-old movie reviewer and podcaster, said they also printed T-shirts, temporary tattoos, and a large custom flag to wave on the field. Did it say Cooter? I want to see a Cooter Commandos flag.
Temporary tattoos? Come on, they're not hardcore enough.
We might be taking it more seriously than most people, Barr said. You just kind of have to be a part of the joke at this point. I guess you do.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love that attitude.
It is, actually.
More people should be like that.
Mm. Well, Florida is the number three population. Number three. 22.6 million.
What's number one?
Number one is California.
Yeah, I'm not
38.9 million. Texas, 30.5 million.
Okay.
And New York comes in fourth.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a feeling New York could be up there.
19.5.
Because just the city alone, I mean, how many people live in New York City now? I don't.
10 million, a lot. 8 million, 9 million.
We really consider them people.
Are they people?
I know a couple
and,
cyborgs
down
there.
So I'm looking at it's like 51. So I'm looking at the states. It says 51 is Wyoming. Like, why would there be 51 states? Then I look up District of Columbia. That's not a state. Come on, man.
Fake news. Fake news.
Come on, man.
Derp, derp.
So Wyoming has 584,000 people.
Mm.
Wow. Vermont, our next door neighbor.
Wait, Wyoming doesn't even have a million?
No. And Vermont, our next door neighbor, has 647,000.
So what number does that make them?
They're 50th, Vermont.
What does New Hampshire have? Like,
New Hampshire comes in at 41 with 1.4 million.
Like and a half. Okay.
There are more people in New Hampshire than Vermont?
Twice as many.
Wow.
More than twice.
Wow.
I just thought northern Vermont is relatively populated.
Burlington.
But maybe I'm just... I guess Manchester's a decent...
Manchester,
Portsmouth. Yeah, Manchester and Portsmouth account for a lot.
You got Boston's trash can. Yeah. It's a lot of people there.
Yeah. That Trashua,
yeah.
We do have a number two story tonight.
Ah.
Good.
That's right.
We only have one number two story.
Well, I may be sandbagging, so maybe, next time we run out, we have one.
Okay.
I may or may not be sandbagging.
We'll sit on that one.
It really depends on whether or not I remember that I sandbagged and know where to find it later. So we'll see how well that works out.
Oh, it goes so far down the news feed, you can't find it.
Yeah. But at any rate, HPD leadership and morale called into question after police supervisors find envelopes with feces on their desks. So police.
So who's HPD?
Houston? Let's see, where's this out of?
Hartford?
Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii.
Ooh, Hawaii.
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 5-0.
This is from HawaiiNewsNow.com. HPD leadership morale called into question after police supervisors find envelopes with feces on their desks. Honolulu. HNN investigates yet another alarming internal probe happening within Honolulu's police department.
A probe. another probe.
Do you guys remember the Ford probe?
The Ford
release. And I'm like, what a horribly named car. Right, this girl that I knew drove one, and we called it the anal.
Yeah, of course.
Because, what color was it?
It was red.
Oh, it was red.
Yeah.
It wasn't brown.
Just get that checked out.
At any rate, HPD confirms its professional standards office launched an internal probe after someone placed envelopes full.
That can't be. They're trying,
Is that fake news?
Hawaii News Now is the name of this site. It looks as legit as anything
else. It looks as legit as The Onion. Or the Babylon Bee. I don't know. Fake news you could trust.
HPD confirms its professional standards office launched the internal probe after someone placed envelopes full of feces on the desks of Honolulu Police Commander and Honolulu Police Supervisor earlier this month.
Oh, so they think it's coming from the rank and file to the commander.
Something's rank, anyway. The incident happened the week of February 5.
And what's that?
February 5th.
Oh, I didn't know if that was like a thing.
February 5.
Oh, okay.
It's like the Fab 5.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was getting at, anyway.
Feb 5.
I didn't think anybody would get that. Thanks for being old enough, Steve.
Okay. Thank you.
That's when law enforcement sources say Honolulu Police Major Hunter Really?
That's the guy's name? His major?
I don't know. Hang on. The sentence is weird. That's when law enforcement sources say Honolulu Police Major Hunter Alu and Captain Denise Nakabayashi both discovered green interdepartmental envelopes on their desks full of excrement. So apparently Hawaii police have a position called Police Major Hunter.
No, that's the person's last name.
And the person's name, Police Major Hunter Alu. Okay.
Right, like Hunter Biden.
Right, but it's like two words, Alu. It's A-H space L-O-O.
Oh.
And they're both capitalized. So, at any rate, a couple of police found, these interdepartmental envelopes like
right.
that.
So it's an inside job, literally.
yeah.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This is technology that, doesn't need to exist anymore.
Interdepartment mail?
Like, I've worked in plenty of corporate offices in the last 15 years, or at least a couple of them anyway, where, this did not exist, right? They used to have it. You could go into, you go into the mail room and you could see the little slots where you could put somebody's name and you got something for them. And but no one used that because we had email now.
Right, right.
just not even...
Well, they're in Hawaii. This is going to take them a little time to catch
up. They're police, and we know how fast,
police, yeah.
We know how fast government runs, and not very is the answer. That's when law enforcement sources say, we already covered that. Both the major and captain, not me, nor Major Payne, are assigned to District 3 and work out of the Pearl City substation. HPD leadership didn't respond to HNN Investigate's request for an interview, but told us in an email that the department's professional standards office has been assigned to look into the incident.
The unprofessional incident.
Okay, so, if this is being treated like a crime, for example, you have to, first of all, maintain the evidence. You have to keep and maintain the evidence. So here they've gotten these envelopes with, some fecal matter in them. And so now they must, put them into a large Ziploc bag
and
put it into a locker somewhere.
Right. With the marijuana they get.
In a controlled temperature and moisture environment so that it doesn't rot or whatever.
Dry out.
Cool.
Yeah.
DNA samples.
Meanwhile, news of the probe has left many in disbelief.
So I'm saying, whoever wrote this must have known.
Oh, I'm certainly playing it up a little bit.
Yeah. But they wanted you to.
I'm putting a bit of...
They were like, I hope Captain reads this, and I hope he plays it up.
I'm putting a bit of extra Shatner into it, or perhaps Cartman from South Park. My reaction to this news is not only disappointment, but extremely concerned, said Cameron Hurt. This is behavior we wouldn't accept from school-aged children. Yeah, well, that...
She sounds like a buzzkill.
Okay, but that also, means you're not hiring particularly smart people.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like school-aged children.
Hurt is the program manager at Common Cause Hawaii. He said, we have got to evaluate what this action means.
What? They gave it the interdepartment mail went
to
the chief.
Piece of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like the chief. They don't like the chief.
We have to evaluate what this means. What does this say about our people management skills within HPD?
Somebody left a crappy, flaming, bag of dog doo-doo on my porch. What does this mean?
What does this mean?
What are they trying to say to me?
We must contemplate this. We must meditate and contemplate the meaning.
They should form a committee.
We need a full investigation.
Don't worry, it's government, they will.
Blue ribbon panel.
What does it say about employee morale? Where are the standards of conduct at HPD? We're far past the line of harmless practical jokes.
This is The Onion, isn't it? This is not.
This is HawaiiNewsNow.com.
Maybe we should contact them for a statement instead of. We need a statement from you guys.
Under Hawaii state law, the offender could face harassment charges, a petty misdemeanor.
Oh. They won't even have to post bond.
I'm wondering if it's maybe it's an inside job, but maybe it's not an actual cop. Right? like these police hire
the administrator,
like the janitor, maybe right? Like because they hire, you know, they outsource this. Like, there's nobody wearing a badge comes in overnight and like you know vacuums and empties the trash cans,
right?
And, you know, all that kind of crap, right? So it's somebody that's a civilian, you know, doing these types of things. So it doesn't, of course,
they would. You would think that they would have cameras in the police station, right?
I mean, considering they're a criminal organization, would they want to do anything to, like...
Maybe they don't.
You know, like, sort of out themselves as such? I don't
know.
They
need plausible deniability. We didn't have any cameras.
I'm guessing they have cameras all over the outside.
Yeah, but not where the stuff really happens.
But I don't know if that's common practice or not. He said, we have got to evaluate what this action means. Now, we already talked about that. Under state law. In a statement, Chief Logan said, the act was committed, was immature and unprofessional, and impacted our sworn and civilian employees. It's a clear violation of the HPD standards of conduct, and the appropriate action will be taken. Like,
what, give some toilet paper?
Spray some Lysol, right? Light a match.
Poopery.
Right? Get rid of the one ply, get the two ply in the bathrooms. Hurt said, if there's a morale issue, if there are certain personnel issues going on, we've got to include the union.
Oh.
Great. Now they're sending packets of feces to the whole union.
Just another layer of government.
It's like, you know.
Not the onion, the union.
The union. The union.
You know, in kindergarten, where if you bring snacks for a friend, you gotta bring cupcakes for everybody or whatever.
Yeah.
It's your birthday. Oh, you gotta bring cupcakes for everybody.
Yep.
It's just like that. It's like, well, it wouldn't be fair if only two people had.
You gotta get poop forever. The whole union's gotta get.
Wow. 603-283-6160. What do you think about this number two story tonight? Is it full of crap?
Is it stinky? Would you like an envelope?
We've got more Free Talk Live coming up. Hour three still to come, including something about AI robots and some other stuff. Don't go anywhere.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.